I'm Dan Leonard in the East.
And I'm George Whittam in the West.
And together we are East West Audio Body Shop. Well, we've been gone for a long time. George, I've missed you. I've missed all of you. We've missed all of you. And we're going to make up for it with a great guest tonight. Actually, two. A husband and wife team, Tara Platt and Yuri Lowenthal. If you're an anime buff, you should be familiar with some of their work. But these guys like to talk about being self-starters and how to really make your career work right for you in your life.
I'll be talking about equipment choices. When all things are equal in your performance, is it really all about the equipment, or is it really nothing to do with the equipment? So I'll share my thoughts. And at what point do you really need to spend go to that next tier in your studio production quality?
Absolutely. I got my thoughts on that as well. And in my tip of the week, we're going to talk about rumble in the background. Getting a lot of demos with that going on in the background. Let's talk about where it comes from and how to get rid of it.
And we've got questions that have come in. We're going to address those this show. And they've come in by email, so you can send them in too to ewabshop@gmail.com. And we'd also love to have your voicemail questions come in to 818-47-EWABS.
That's tonight, 9 o'clock in the East.
And 6 o'clock in the West.
And we'll see you there.
He's the home voiceover studio engineer to the stars in Los Angeles, California. A Virginia Tech grad whose knowledge of the latest recording gear is second to none. He's a voice actor and the home studio master, hailing from Buffalo, New York. His home studio skills and knowledge of voiceover recording is unmatched. When Dan and George talk shop, people listen, and the talk continues tonight. Welcome to East West Audio Body Shop. And now, live from his high-tech facility in Santa Monica and his penthouse studio in Buffalo, here are George Whittam and Dan Leonard.
Good evening. I'm Dan Leonard in the East.
And I'm George Whittam in the West.
And together we are East West Audio Body Shop. Cripes, what a weekend. Boy, we really put our time in this week, didn't we?
Yes, for sure, man. We've been putting in overtime getting ready for this big VoiceOver Virtual coming up.
Yeah, and the
you
big
especially.
Production. Yeah, well, somebody's got to do it. might as well be me.
Might as well.
Well, yeah, but we had this big thing on Saturday night at Ann Ganguza's house, the VoiceOver Virtual open house, which went extremely well because of the great technologies we developed here.
And our skill and our time building a rapport, doing the show together. We could never have done it if we hadn't had this experience here, I'll tell you.
Yeah, 108 episodes. And you guys have stayed with us through all of this. You are crazy. That must be why you're in the voiceover business, you know?
Exactly.
Anyway, we've got a great show tonight. Like, when have we never not had a great show? Otherwise, you wouldn't keep coming every week. We've got some great guests, a wonderful duo, a nice couple, Tara Platt and Yuri Lowenthal. They're actors, animators, authors of VoiceOver Actor, What It's Like to Be Behind the Mic. They do everything. And they're a couple, and they share a studio. We're going to ask them about that. Yeah. They'll be on in about 25 minutes or so.
I am very curious about how they handle that whole thing. That is not easy.
I mean, I have to share a house with my studio. You know, the wife wants to play piano and sing, and like, can I practice now?
Right.
Like, you know, yes. You only have till 9 o'clock, though. And I guess Ella has been a little under the weather this week, making things just a little bit more exciting around the Whittam household.
We've all gotten a little under weather. She brought it home from San Diego, I guess. Thanks, Kathy. No, actually.
Yeah, thank you, Catherine.
We all went to, Ella and I went to give mommy a couple of days of staycation, and she and I went down and visited, and we had a fun time with Catherine, and she entertained Ella, and we had fun. But I think Ella got herself so upset over missing mommy that she literally made herself sick. I've never seen anything like it. She got a fever and a headache, and now she's just got the residual cold, I think, that's come out of it. And I've gotten my little bit of it, too, so I'm going to deal with that tonight and try to stay upbeat as possible.
There
Yay!
Like I always say, it's... Showtime.
Showtime. Showbiz.
I remember doing a play in Albuquerque many, many years. This is like over 30 years ago.
Yeah.
And big theater, and I somehow contracted amoebic dysentery or something like that. And I was in just
awful shape. Not that we guys want to hear that part, but I'm having cramps and I'm just awful.
That sounds horrible.
I know, but you're on stage, the lights come up, and it's showtime. It doesn't matter how you feel. There's no people like show people. Anyway, yeah. We got a show to do here, and we got some great stuff we want to talk about, too. So why don't we get things rolling, because you've got a great topic that you and I talk about all the time.
Yeah, I mean, we've spoken on this topic in various forms and flavors over the history of the show. But it's something that comes up a lot, and you know, it's a big question. You know, it's when is it time to like really upgrade your studio? You know, you've been working at this. Maybe you've been at this for 5 or 10 years. Maybe you've had some real success lately. You got some money burning a hole in your pocket, which if you're in that position, good for you. You know, God bless you. And you're trying to figure out what to spend money on. So I think this came up because a client of mine, one of my great long-time clients I've been working with since nearly the beginning of my business, he said, I just landed a big client. It's one of the biggest of my career, and I'm so excited, and now I want to be, you know, I want to take it to the next level with my studio. What do I do, you know? And it's not a complicated studio, but he's got a Sennheiser 416. He's going into an Avalon tube preamp, which is a really popular combo here in L.A., and then into a little Mackie mixer, Firewire, into his Mac Mini. And that's it, right? So he's like, what do I do? How can I make things take it to the next level? Well, we've already acoustically treated the room. We did a whole custom studio 3 years ago. The room has got a nice size to it. It doesn't sound like a booth. It has a little bit of liveness to it. It's really nice. So what do we do next? Where do you go from there? You're landing, you know, some big campaigns. Your sound is consistent. You're winning clients. Where do you go from there? Well, it's a tough question, and it really does depend on depend on the type of work you're gunning for and the kind of clients you're working with. You know, we talk about all the time that in general they're looking for your sound just as clean and clear and unprocessed as possible. And they just want it to sound just like you, and they're going to take over the rest, you know, they're going to run with the ball after that. So if you're already giving them the best you can give with the right, you know, with a nice sounding microphone, with very low noise, you've got your acoustics sorted out, there's no hollowness or colored sound or echoey sound or all that, and you've got your mic technique solid and you've got your workflow solid, all that stuff's great. Where do you go from there? And I think one thing that's happening these days is there's become more and more of an expectation for the voice actor to actually do more. Like, it seems like, you know, the expectation isn't just, I just want to hear a clean recording of your audio, WAV file, and that's it. Nothing else. I don't want any sludge on it, any coloration or anything. But I think that's starting to change in parts of the industry. Certainly, like, radio imaging and affiliate work where you're doing stuff that's going to go on the air very quickly. Stuff that where you send the file out and they're going to put it out on the air within probably the next 10 minutes to 30 minutes. If you're doing that kind of work, you definitely want to give them something that sounds ready for air, because chances are they're not going to have the time or the inclination to want to do anything at all with your audio. So for those kind of gigs, you know, I definitely am leaning more towards having a channel strip that can do a little bit upfront processing. And we talk a lot about front versus back end. But if you're working really fast pace and you have a lot of clients to take care of and you just can't afford a lot of downtime and you need consistency, sometimes maybe having a little bit of help at the front end may not be such a bad idea. And what am I talking about in regards to front end processing in this particular case? I'm talking about some mild compression. Nothing radical. 2 to 2.5 to 1 ratio, maybe. Not much more than that. Just something to level it out a little bit so that you don't have to be worried, how close am I to clipping? Can I read a little bit hotter on this? Can I, you know, emphasize this word without having to worry about going into the red? That little helper is going to be nice. A little bit of EQ, maybe just to spice it up, get a little bit of top end, some brightness, a little bit of what we sometimes call air. Is not a bad idea sometimes if it's done right at the right range. But yeah,
just slightly.
These are all subtle adjustments. If you're doing stuff for radio, you can take it maybe a little bit further because radio is a different kind of genre and there's a more expectation for that big radio sound, you know, with like an unbelievable amount of processing. Like what you're hearing, what we use on this show, we're using sort of a processing chain, so to speak. It's all in software that more simulates what you'd hear on the radio. We're going for that sort of a radio sound, you know, compression, EQ, that's sort of a punchy, bright sound. So you may find that for certain things, you may want to add a little bit of that. But how much you add is definitely a matter of opinion. Too much could be the kiss of death, because you could sound like you're a radio person. And if you're not working in radio, you know that's bad. And, you know, if you do too little, you may not add, you know, you may not scoop out the right bit here, right bit there. Or if you don't set it just quite right, it could color the sound in a negative way. So you do have to be really careful. But I've recently found a mic preamp processor that kind of blows my mind, considering how good it sounds and the quality. And I've installed it in a couple studios, and it's called the Vorsys M1. And the reason I like this thing is because it's not that expensive. It's under $800. It's made in the USA. Yay, USA! It's made by a radio broadcast equipment company called Wheatstone. So, you know, it's built to like be on.
Makes great stuff.
Yeah, it's built to be running 24/7. You know, it's built to be always on. And it's all analog looking on the front. It's got tons of knobs and dials. So if you like to be able to tweak stuff, you can do that. But internally, it's totally digital. So you can hold down a button and it'll immediately disable all the knobs on the front panel. So you never have to, once you get a sound that's perfect and dialed in just for you, you can turn off all the controls and nobody can screw up your settings. The cleaning lady, your kids, the cat, nobody can mess up your settings. And that's really cool. And then it also has a remote control software, Windows only, which is a real drag, but there's ways we can work around that. But you can save all the settings onto your computer and recall them. And because it's remote controllable over your network, someone else can log in, like myself, and I can actually pretend I'm sitting right there next to you and tweak levels and dials and things while I'm listening to you on Skype. And it's so cool because it's as though I'm just sitting right next to you and twisting knobs, but we can get a really optimized sound out of it. So, I mean, there's not a lot of gear I can really say this thing is amazing and it's really done wonders for a few of my clients. This is one of those pieces of equipment. It has very low noise, no noise that you can really to speak of. And I'm a big fan of that piece of gear. Dan, have you found, you know, you've been working at this a long time.
You know, quite a few years.
You've done the obvious stuff. You've moved your studio. You got a space that's more comfortable. You've got the booth. You've upgraded the acoustics. You've recently upgraded a microphone. I guess that's probably the biggest upgrade you've made recently is the mic, right?
Yeah, I went to a 416. I have my 103, my TLM 103, and I got the CAD
E100S,
which now is wearing Frank and Mike's wig.
So you know, what do you think when you got the 416? Okay, because that might be a mic somebody's considering. They've had $200-$500 mics for a while, and maybe it's time. What was it that about that particular upgrade that was like, oh wow, okay, I'm getting this mic now?
There's clearly a difference in the sound of the two, you know, between the 103 and the 416. The 416 is very crisp. It only takes the bottom end and really pushes the bottom end if you're using proximity effect on it, if you get really up close to it. A lot of guys really get up close to their 416 and, like, you know, they put a pop filter right in front of it and they'd really talk really like tight onto it.
Yeah.
But from a distance, which is what it was designed for,
yeah,
by the way, it's a shotgun mic that was designed for video and film production. If it's aiming at you at the right direction, the way you see it set up in other people's studios, it captures you truly the way you exist with nice, crisp, you know, what's a good way to describe it? It doesn't push the low end quite as much.
It's got presence, but yeah, it has fullness, but it doesn't have that. It doesn't, it's a little less sensitive to rumble, which we're going to talk about later.
Right. And of course, it has side rejection too, which was, I think, one of the things that I really needed since, you know, I live around a lot of grass and a lot of landscaping companies that seem to take care of all that grass.
Right.
Which is a real problem in the summer around here. And so it definitely did a great job of reducing my noise floor. But it's not a cheap mic. But to me, it was worth the investment to do that. And you know, you were talking about processing. If I can just, you know, do a little camera shot here, because you know, this is all the processing I use, and I only use it for EWABs. It's a Eureka. A Presonus Eureka with a compressor in it, and you can probably see the meter bouncing there as I talk.
Yep.
And that's all we use here because, like you said, it's for broadcast.
What was that thing on top of it?
That is a Berlant reel-to-reel tape recorder preamp.
Which
I have, you know, because I like to play with ribbon microphones and stuff, so I have that, and I turn it on every once in a while when I need to hear lots of hum.
Right. You
know, maybe I could use it to help me fall asleep or something, but it's just taking up space in the rack, and I'm going to probably put some other stuff in there. But I totally don't believe in any front-end processing.
You don't use it, right? You go 416 to the, what, a 103, an Apogee 1? Or what do you do these days?
I'm using a 2i2.
Oh yeah, the Scarlett
2i2, which a lot of people have gone to because it's a great unit for the price. It's two channels. It has a separate monitor and headphone amp, which allows us to do some certain things with webinars, and we'll demonstrate that a little bit later. But it really is great. It's a great chain because it captures me as I exist, and I believe all processing should be done in post. But if you don't understand post, I can understand why people would go and do it in the pre. Anyway.
Yeah. It's there's two philosophies. Neither of them are a panacea for everybody. But I tend to say especially when you're starting out, don't go front end processing.
Right.
Go simple. Go basic. Go clean, and let us help you dial. Dan and I both do it. We can help you dial in a preset in your recording software with just the right amount of treble, bass, mid-range, ducking, and whatever that we think might be necessary to make your files that you send out punchy, you know, especially for auditioning, which is never a bad idea to add a little bit of something on audition.
Sometimes, yeah. And it's different with every audition, and that comes with experience.
Yep.
Excellent. Well, I think we totally agree on that for the most part. Anyway, we've got lots more coming up. Got my tip of the week coming up in just a minute. We're going to talk about Rumble, which is sort of related to that, I guess. And we've got our wonderful guests, and they're a great couple. I can't wait to have a long conversation with them. Tara Platt and Yuri Lowenthal. They'll be with us in just about 10-15 minutes or so. So stay tuned. We'll be right back with East West Audio Body Shop right after this.
And now back to the only webcast done with two cans, two geeks, and a string. East West Audio Body Shop with George Winham on his end in the West and Dan Leonard in the East.
All right.
Are we really that big? Are we geeky?
You know, I like to think that we don't speak geek. It's easy to like slip into it, you know, and you know, although J.S. Gilbert, one of our great friends, really played a good one today on Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
There was a discussion going on about about audiobooks that I had started. And somebody kept chiming in about, is my mustache real? You know, I think I chimed in like, you want to pull it and find out? And then JS jumps in there and starts talking about how it affects the acoustics in my room and how it perfectly helps out all the acoustics in my room. And then I found one of those acoustic equations and copied and pasted it in there. It says, see, this proves it. There was a big W in there, so it looked like a mustache. Anyway, it's hilarious. Part of the equation. Well, another part of the equation in your home studio, we always talk about ambient noise and stuff like that. I had a client who actually wrote me today. And she sends me a file, and I hear rumbling, and I hear low-frequency rumble in it. And it's a problem. Of course, why it's there, I figured out pretty fast. But let's go to my tip of the week, and then we'll talk a little bit more about it.
Here you go.
I got an email recently from a client who says she's got lots of problems around her apartment in New York City because of construction or demolition. Well, how do you deal with rumble that comes from stuff like that? Now, rumble can come from a lot of places. It can come from construction around your house. It can come from traffic. We all know what that can be like. Or it can come from a train yard nearby. And, of course, doing your laundry during recording is not a really good idea. Well, first off, you may not even know it's there. You're used to that sound. So you have to look for it in your waveform, or in some cases, a spectrograph is an easier place. Let's take a look and see how. When you're recording, you really shouldn't be looking at your waveform or anything else except your copy. When you look at your waveform afterwards, it should be nice and flat between passages. Otherwise, you'll see this, which is actually an indication of rumble, an uneven line. Now, here's why I like using a spectrogram, because it shows rumble or a noise floor very, very clearly. You can see it at the very bottom as a brighter orange or a red type of thing, and that's really not good. One thing we definitely know is that rumble is usually low frequencies, under 120 hertz. So what we can do is use several different schemes in software to try and remove them after the fact, using EQ or something specialized. For example, in Adobe Audition, you've got some specialized filters, like in EQ, you've got an FFT filter, and look for a specialized preset called Kill the Mic Rumble. What it does is it takes out every frequency underneath 100 Hz, and then eases them out, and when you hit apply, you can see what happens here. It removes all the frequencies underneath 100 Hz. So it gets rid of the rumble without affecting your voice. Or use a simple 10-band equalizer like this and take out everything underneath 100, 125 hertz, or just reduce it a little bit, and you'll see that also reduces the rumble significantly. Well, as you know, I'm not a big fan of front-end processing, but if you're a little bit more advanced in your skills, you can try these tools. If you're lucky enough to have a good condenser mic, it will have what's called a low-cut filter, which will cut everything below 80 Hz. And the same is true with a good channel strip preamp, which also has an underneath 80 Hz filter on it. So try engaging that if you have it. So as you can see, rumble's not that big a deal. Try to get rid of the initial source. And if that doesn't work, you have some special filters and tools you can use on the front end and the back end. And make your audio sound sweet. And that's my tip of the week.
Yeah, so as we were talking earlier, it's really about getting rid of the noise physically. What's causing that rumble, I think, is far more important than trying to get rid of it using electronic means. The client I had today, where is this rumble coming from? And she's like, oh, I left the air conditioning on. Well, maybe you might want to turn it off. Another good big cause of rumble, and I'm sure some of you have done this, and I'm telling you, it's probably not a good practice. If you use a desk stand mic, tends to amplify any rumble from anywhere. If you have a desk stand mic and your laptop on the same desk, guess what you're going to get? You're going to get rumble.
Or external hard drives. They're really bad for that. They make hum and all sorts of junk.
Yeah. So you want to have a mic stand that is on the floor, totally isolated from your desk and your computer. That will also reduce rumble. And then you've got other lower frequency stuff like hum. You know, my client today was showing me the process she has, and she shows me this wooden box with this big tube in the middle of it. I'm like, what the heck is that? What are you doing with a tube in there? And she's like, well, my husband built it. Well, take the one input and the one output and plug those together and take that and use that as a doorstop. And that gets rid of the hum and that sort of thing. Plus, it's also amplifying things. So if you're using, front end amplification, you're double amping it and you've got vibration, you're getting rumble.
Yeah, I find there's multiple sources of rumble in most home studios. It's even more worse. a lot worse in multi-unit buildings where there's apartments in a building or townhouses, condos, because there's machinery in the building or on the roof of the building that's cooling the entire structure. Commercial buildings are really bad. Yep. And those things make hum and rumble and garbage that's just there all the time. You have no control over it. You can't go turn it off when you don't want to hear it. And some people will go through great lengths, trying to isolate it with, this or that. But I have one client, he has the double-walled whisper room, the top of the line. This thing is really expensive. Put it into a commercial building, and he still has crazy massive bass noise, hum. It's so low, I call it, it's really rumbly hum. Rumbly hum. Is that a U2 album?
Yeah, it is actually.
And it's so bad, that we had to use multiple layers of high pass filters. One that was on his microphone, one that was on his preamp, and then something else just to get rid of it mostly. So, but the good news is most of the time rumble can be removed in post or using a high pass filter without coloring your sound too much, because it is way below the range of your voice. So. It's not the end of the world. It's probably one of the less major issues that a home studio would face that I think that would be a deal breaker. So if you have some and you're not sure if you can deal with it, let us know. Drop sample in Dan's specimen box or specimen cup.
Specimen cup.
And I have the sound check. So we'd be happy to give you some feedback.
Absolutely.
No pun intended.
None. Yeah. Okay. Well, we've got our guest coming up in just a minute here, and so stay tuned for that. And I believe we have a new sponsor, do we not?
We actually do. Well, actually, the new sponsor is my employer, Edge Studios. And there's been a lot of stuff going on at Edge, and a lot of it has to do with kind of beefing up our infrastructure at the company, building a whole new website, and we're doing some major makeovers at the company. So we haven't had time to put together a fancy little promo reel yet. But I will say that edgestudio.com is a great place for a wide-ranging amount of information, resources on the voiceover industry. There's a lot of free information on there. They have an education center where you can find an incredible amount of useful information. Once my company's website, vostudiotech.com, and Edge's are finally melded together, everything you can find at my site will be there. But for now, if you're wanting to know about the technical side of things, definitely head over to vostudiotech.com for the tech stuff. And that's where you can find me. And that's how you can still hire me for services and book me for time and that sort of stuff. And that's where my sound check specimen cup is located. But I got to do a vlog series for them. It's called Widom's World. And it's a lot of fun. I don't know if you guys have seen it yet, but Widom's World is just a short vlog series I'm doing every week where I answer one question. And if you want to be a part of it, you can go to edgestudio.com/ follow along, voice-over-free-career-center-newsletter, or just go to YouTube and type in Widom's World, WHITTAM. And you'll find it pretty quickly. But anyway, we really appreciate Edge for their sponsorship. They're helping our show launch into what might be a new level of production value, and giving us more resources to work with. So we really appreciate it, and thank you, Edge, for supporting us. and bringing me on board. Appreciate it.
Does that mean we're going to be doing live remotes from Damascus and stuff?
I hope so, man. I'd love to start doing some more man on the street live. Maybe not Damascus, but we're getting there. So let me run a quick little bumper here. We'll get it. We'll get our friends on the line here, and I guess we'll be right back. Right?
I guess so.
Talk to you in a minute.
VO Studio Tech. Recording made simple.
Hi, I'm Peter McHugh.
This is Jim Tasker from Los Angeles, California.
Hi, this is Bill Ratner in Los Angeles.
Hi, this is Scott Rummel here in Yorba Linda, California.
Hi, my name is Rick Wasserman.
Hi, this is Tom Kane.
Hi, my name is Vanessa Marshall.
Hi, my name is Zurich.
Hi, I'm Mary McKittrick.
Randy Thomas chiming in.
Hi, this is Joe Szymanski.
Hey, this is Rick Robles.
Hi, my name is John Patrick Armstrong.
I was turned on to George by none other than Don LaFontaine, who always swore by his helmet.
George is absolutely awesome.
ISDN, Source Connect, Phone Patch, FTP, you name it, Georgia set it up.
It's really the best thing I've ever done for myself. I feel free, safe, fearless, like anything is possible in here.
Unless you like to look for opportunities to waste time, call George.
And he did all of that, long distance over the phone and the internet.
I'm very happy with George, and I cherish him.
Thanks, George. You make it easy.
And now, back to East West Audio Body Shop, where every week, it's Apollo 13.
I don't think that's the case anymore. I think we got it under control.
I had to play that for old time's sake.
Yeah, really. Well, that's one of my favorites. Hey, I wrote that. I like hearing it. I think we have a little video to help introduce our next guests here.
Ah, we do. Let me swing that into shot here. Frame that up so you guys can catch a load of this. This is a lot of fun. Bring that up. Bring this in. And let's roll that, as we say, beautiful bean footage. As we say, beautiful bean footage.
You know, you know how to get that low angle to do a thing? Something like that? Is that very comfortable?
Kind of craziness going on here.
That's me there, the bald one.
I'm Yuri Lowenthal.
Craziness going
on here.
That's me there, the bald
Yuri
one.
Tara.
I'm Yuri
Lowenthal.
My name's Tara.
That's me there, the bald
Yuri
one.
Tara. I'm Yuri Lowenthal.
That's me there, the bald one.
I'm Yuri Lowenthal.
There's a whole other world of that's me there, the bald one.
I'm Yuri Lowenthal.
There's a whole other world of that's me there, the bald one.
Okay. That's why I played the Apollo 13 clip.
Right.
We're getting a problem. We're getting a loop back from somewhere, and I don't know where it's coming from.
Got it. I don't know where it's coming from either.
You guys were all hearing that, right?
Yeah, that's why we couldn't look at each other.
That was pretty comical. Yeah, I was pulling faders left and right going, where is this loop back coming from? Anyway, you know what? That's the way it goes. sometimes in the world of live shows. But anyway, we've got Yuri and Tara. I will put a link to this video clip and right in the show notes, as well as I'll put a lower third up so everybody can check out the promo we were just showing for a Con Artists movie. Dan, would you introduce our friends properly, because I'm stinking at it tonight.
Well, hey, you got an excuse. Let's welcome Tara Platt and Yuri Lowenthal to East West Audio Body Shop. Thanks for being with us tonight, guys.
You bet.
Thank you so much. We're glad to be here.
We've been trying to figure out, how do we describe what you guys do? I mean, you're voice actors, so you're just part of our crowd. You know, you just happen to have a lot of other stuff going on too. But you're voice actors. You do a lot of animation and anime. We saw a little bit from the video there. Some of the things you've also written a couple of books, and you're in the publishing business and in the production business and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. Boy. How do you get all that stuff in there? But we'll talk about that in a second. First, why don't we talk, you know, there's this question we ask every guest that comes on the show, and they all go, and that's, how'd you get started in this business, and where are you guys from and all that, and how'd you meet, and go for it.
Yeah, the way that we got started in this business is I started acting in plays, doing theater when I was about 9, And at that time, I was like, okay, this is what I want to do with my life. And so then I just sort of stayed on that trajectory. I did theater throughout high school, and I went to college for theater. I went to London, and then I moved to New York, and I was doing off-Broadway theater, and then got into television and film. And from that, then got an agent and came out to Los Angeles. And when in Los Angeles, and I was with Yuri now, we had gotten married, we had met in New York. And when we were in Los Angeles, we sort of were looking at each other like, how do we continue to make money as actors? Because you can only make so much money in each of the different fields to try to build a career out of if you don't like hit it big. And we looked at each other and we're like, well, what is that voiceover thing? How does that work? And we literally took a class. And from that class, we got our demo reels and we started sending out our demo reels and we started booking work.
Yeah, so. we both have a theater background. I did theater in college and then in New York for 6 years before moving out here. And I think it was hugely instrumental for both of us. But yeah, you come out here and, you know, as an actor, there are limited sort of things you can do to make money. And we're just trying to do as many of them as we could.
Yeah.
And it's funny that I didn't think voiceover right away because I've always been a fan of cartoons and video games and stuff like that. So that should have been number one on my list. But sometimes, you know, you don't see it right in front of your face.
Yeah. Yeah. You never really know what you're going to get into until you like, you have to go down the hallway and look at all the doorways and then find the doorway that works for you. But unless you go down that hallway, you're not going to find the doors. So
exactly.
So, but, and apparently you guys have a lot of doors on your house, because, yeah, really. I mean, but you've done some great stuff on TV and film. I mean, you've been in Criminal Minds and Hawaii Five-0 and a bunch of other things, but you're also doing a lot of animation work. Now we talk to a lot of people who do animation work. How do you really get started in there? And again, we ask this question about everybody who does animation. Do you really have to be in LA to do it? Of course, you're in LA, so you're going to go, of course you got to be in LA.
But. Well, it's a twofold question.
I think LA is one of the best places to, I don't think you have to be here, but I think it's one of the best places to do it because so much of the animation does get recorded here. Now, you know, I mean, they're creating the animation, you know, usually in Korea or India or China or somewhere else, but it all starts here. And a lot of the video games are happening here. You can. There are other cities that do that. You know, Vancouver and Dallas and New York. There's work there, but I don't think it's quite as concentrated as it is here.
And what ends up happening is, sure, you can be anywhere to do voiceover because we have technology and we can record it and we can send it off. But unfortunately, or fortunately, the directors and producers and other cast members usually want to be in the room with you when you're working. If you're doing original animation and it's a group record, then yes, definitely you want to be in that physical room. If you're doing something else like commercial work or whatever, you can record something at home and then send it over or have, you know, an audio line that you are sending it immediately or whatever. But there are only, like Yuri's saying, there's certain hubs that do all the recording and it really helps your chances and odds if you are physically in those places so the director can meet you and see you're not a super crazy person, just a crazy person.
Right.
Well, if you want to be in acting, I mean, that's sort of a prerequisite. But one of the things that you're really big in is anime. Now, anime, I'm not going to say it's a niche audience because obviously there's billions of people around the planet
who
watch this stuff. And I mean, if I was sort of forced to watch an awful lot of Pokemon when my kids were young. So Sailor Moon and all this stuff. I'm like, I don't get it. But I'm old. But you guys do a lot of anime, and how is doing anime really a unique niche for you, and how do you approach it?
Well, anime was sort of where we got our start in animation. Period. The teacher that we studied with ended up getting a job directing a dub of an anime show, and I auditioned, and that was sort of my entree into that world. And it is a sort of a tight knit community, so if you do a good job and you're pleasant to work with, your name gets handed around a lot, and then you get referrals. It's a niche audience, but growing clearly, as you can see. You know, all the kids are loving it, and I honestly grew up with it, so it was a thrill for me. But it's also very specialized work, and unfortunately, among the least well paid work. So it's great because it's gotten us a certain level of of, you know, fame, if you will, that allows us to travel the world and go to conventions and sign autographs and so on. And that's fun and it's exciting. But the, you know, the, as far as being able to make a living off of just working on anime, you're going to want to diversify.
That'd be really hard to do. Yeah.
But,
yeah.
Stock up in ramen.
Yeah.
Ramen.
Yeah.
And mac and cheese.
The skill itself is, it's sort of an acquired, it takes a little time to get used to because you're not just creating a character and then recording it and then they're animating afterwards. They've already got the animation there. You have to fit a new language into those, the lip flaps, and you have to maintain the performance that was there, but also bring your own thing to it. So it's a lot of spinning plates and patting your head and rubbing your tummy all at the same time.
But it definitely helps you with ADR in the future for other things because you get to be so good
clearly.
Of timing that you're just like, when going in to do other VO ADR, you're just like, you nail it, and the directors are like, wow.
Why is it some of the hardest voiceover work is some of the lowest paying? Why does it always seem to work that way? The stuff that has the most challenging.
Yeah, hardest work, lowest pay. I no respect.
No, not at all.
High effort, low reward. It's the meaning of life, you know. And of course, it's not. How hard is it to really dub something when a mouth is going? You know, I mean, it's just little tiny mouth movements on most anime.
That's the writer's job.
of course.
The person who's adapting the script hopefully will make that a little easier on you.
Yeah. Now, one of the other things you guys like to talk about is improv. For voice actors, I think anybody who's taken any voice acting classes or any acting classes, it's clear that you have to learn how to think outside the box. What are your thoughts on doing improv?
Yeah, it's definitely, when you're doing animation and there's a script, you know, there are writers that get paid a lot of money to put that script together. So you generally want to honor that thing. But we have found in doing our commercial auditions that when you improv, your chance of booking that job goes up dramatically. Sometimes what happens is they end up casting somebody else and they steal the improv that you did, and there's nothing you can do about that. You can, you know, if the commercial finally comes on air and you're like, hey, that wasn't in the script, that was my thing, but they hired somebody else. Yeah. But,
hey, that showbiz kid.
Exactly. That's what we signed up for. I have found, and a lot of people have said the same thing, that if you can add a little tag at the, you know, just, you know, make it a little messier, add a little funny little tag at the end, you know, just spend 5 minutes thinking up a couple funny little ideas to put on that audition when you first send it in.
Right.
It dramatically increases your rate of booking.
But I would argue in a way that finding a little funny thing is actually different from improv. Because improv, the core of what improv is saying yes and being willing to play. Mm-hmm. And I think that will carry you through any of the things, regardless of if you're changing what the actual dialogue in the script is. It's being able to sort of say yes to whatever that world or whatever that character or whatever is going on and just running with it and saying yes. I'm an alien and I'm on this planet and there's no gravity and I'm going to make it happen rather than just trying to say the funny lines. Although I do think saying, you know, making something your own, especially commercially, and being able to add those funny little tags or those buttons at the end is extremely helpful. I think they're actually different tools in your toolbox that you sort of want to come to the session with or to come to your audition with.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So, it's clear that when you're doing an audition, you have to do something different. And in an improvising or just throwing something else in there, it's going to make him go, well, what's different from this one? Oh, well, that's different. So that makes a lot of sense. Now, one of the other things you guys are into, I don't know where you have the time to do this, is you're in the publishing business now, too. You've got a book out, Voice Over Voice Actor. What it's like behind the mic.
Props.
There it is.
Oh, yes, of course. And everybody uses the 55 for voiceover. Who on their right mind uses a 55 to do voiceover these days?
Nobody. I thought it looked pretty on the cover.
But it looks good. It looks good.
It's the coolest looking
mic. It's the coolest looking mic on the cover.
So what do we have in this fine little publication?
This book came about and we got into the publishing business because people kept coming to us with questions. Fans would get in touch with us via email saying, hey, I'm in high school. I want to be a voice actor when I grow up. Can you let me know how to do that? And we were like, well, you know, I mean, we don't know exactly what you personally will need, but here are a lot of things that we know worked for us and we see work for other people. And so we would try to get back to those people. And then you know, we started getting more emails, and then and our actor friends out here were asking us the same questions, and we were like, I don't know that we have time to tell all these people the same thing. And Tara's written a lot of it down. Why don't we, you know, if we're going to do that anyway, why don't we put all this stuff together in a book, and it will make that it'll make it that much easier, so that when people come to us, we can go, oh, you know, funny you should mention. Here's a book that's all about what we were going to tell you.
Yeah.
You know, over.
I mean, we basically wrote it for not only actors that want to get into mm-hmm. voiceover, but fans and people that consider voiceover to be a potential career, or yeah. that are just interested in it.
Yeah.
So we try to cover as many of the bases as we could. We try to cover a little bit of the history and sort of what the different areas of voiceover kind of are. And then we try to get into the nitty gritty of doing the audition or setting up a home studio or reading copy, reading, you know, working with the material and how an ADR session for dubbing is going to be different from an original animation session is going to be different from a commercial session. So we really tried to get into all the different aspects that we sort of had been introduced to when we started to learn how everything worked.
And things that we took a look at a few of the books that were out there on the subject, and we wanted to find some things that we didn't see, you know, covered in those books. Things like video games and, you know, loop groups and promoting yourself and, you know, putting a website together and things like that as well.
Yeah.
I see you've got your 55. Wow.
Everybody has one of these. I mean, come on now. It's
the nicest looking mic, I think.
And that's
it is a classic.
That's an authentic one, though. I see, you know, they do these reproductions that just sort of look like that, but are really just like a, you know, a snowball mic or something.
This is a real one. I bought at a garage sale. So.
Oh, fantastic.
I'm proud of that. Now you've got some other things coming up here. You guys are busy. You've got this mockumentary we were showing you just a little bit a while ago about con artists. Yeah. What's that all about?
Well, that is sort of a funny story. A friend of ours is a documentary filmmaker and actor, and he knew that at the time we were going and traveling the world, going to all these conventions, signing autographs, and he just thought it was the craziest, weirdest thing that he had heard of. And we started chatting about it, and he's like, I really think you guys have to make a movie. And Yuri and I were like, well, we're happy to make a movie, but we don't have a key into that. And there's already been movies made, things like is it Trekkies? And there's other ones that deal with conventions and being fans and stuff like that. And we didn't feel like we had something new to share with that.
Like,
so
a hook.
A hook. So we were like, I don't know. And then he called us one day when we were actually at a convention. I think we were in Baltimore. And he's like, I have the title. It's Con Artists. And Yuri and I were like, okay, sign us up. We'll make this movie. And so basically the movie, it's a mockumentary. It's very Christopher Guest style. And it follows us as voice actors, playing ourselves, but not really ourselves, as we go to 11 conventions or more over the course of a year. And so we, at the convention, actually have documentary footage of the convention and fans and things that happen at conventions to sort of introduce that world to people that aren't familiar with it and to sort of give loving sort of support to people that are familiar with it already. And then we poke fun at it ourselves and voice acting and voice actors at conventions
Because we noticed there's a funny sort of fame in a bubble thing that we noticed. You know, voice actors go to conventions, and inside the convention hall, it's like you're the Beatles. And then as soon as you walk out the door into the real world, nobody cares.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I've experienced that one. That's kind of interesting.
Exactly. So we always thought that was a very funny, you know, dichotomy and needed to be
sort of
explored.
And so that's basically what the film is about. And you know, the tagline is friends, fans, fame, what could possibly go wrong? And so it's sort of, we're dealing with fame, we're dealing with friendship, we're dealing with fans and fandom, and we're just playing with it a little bit. So it should be really fun and enjoyable.
Yeah. Now, are you hoping for a theater release for this, or on the internet, or what?
I doubt we'll get I don't think it's quite a wide release type of movie. We're still looking into
different distribution venues.
Yeah, so. different outlets for how we're going to get it out there. That's unfortunately not our expertise. Our expertise is making this stuff.
So we're still working on that.
And then we're stuck on exactly how to get it to all the people who might want to see it. So we're working on that.
Yeah, we do have a screening coming up for cast and crew at the end of this month. So.
Yeah,
great.
We were actually thinking, if you're amenable to this, I don't know, For some of your viewers/listeners who are in the Los Angeles area, maybe we should give away a couple tickets to the screening on the 23rd.
Yeah, take a note of that, George.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. Oh, now we have an excuse to watch the show.
I want to pick If you want to pick two of your viewers that are here in Los Angeles, we're happy to set them up with tickets if you give us their information later after the show.
We'll do something we'll do something on the Facebook group.
Absolutely. Now, you're also writing you have an ongoing criminal noir vella called Tough City. What is this about? It's an ebook.
Yes, this is Tough City. Oh, no glare. It's a Tara coined the term crimity, and I coined the term noirvella, because it's not quite a full length novel. It's a short novel. It's about 130 pages, but it's sort of a hard boiled, noir detective story. But
it's a comedy,
really, a comedy at heart, and that I wrote with a friend of mine a while ago, originally as part of a 72-hour novel writing contest, and. Over the years since we wrote it, I keep going back to it thinking, this still makes me laugh. I really think that we're onto something here. And because we had sort of established, this is what it takes to publish a book with our voiceover book, Tara said, well, maybe we should just publish that too. And with, the system, you've got online now for e-publishing and print on demand, it's getting easier and easier. And so that's
good fun book. And it's just, and now this fall, I can tell them, Yuri's been recording. He's going to be recording it, and we'll have the audio book version.
We'll do an audio
book. Of course. No brainer.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
No, yeah. I'm like, gosh, these guys are doing so much. Then there's this web series you guys are doing.
I have more visuals.
More visuals.
Oh, you guys are prepared.
All right.
Shelf Life is a... It's a comedy web series that we've got 43 episodes online right now.
We just wrapped our fourth season.
They're short. It's sort of like Toy Story, but we're
dirty on it a little bit.
It's like dirty, like dirty Toy Story. And it's live action. We're actually in costumes on a giant shelf playing action figures in a kid's room. It's a good time, but it's not safe for work.
And that's our costumes. I don't know if you can see.
Oh yeah.
Cool.
That looks fun.
Wow. And our friend Juan Carlos Bagnell is in there every now and again.
He does all the audio for us on set.
Yeah, he records all the actors.
Yeah, and the
production.
Very, very talented D. Bradley Baker, who you probably are aware of.
Oh yeah,
the voice of everything.
He's certifiable.
Yes, he's amazing.
He is certifiable.
He is the voice of the snake character on our show, because the snake character is sort of our Chewbacca. He doesn't speak English. He sort of makes snake sounds, and he comes in and voices that for us.
We couldn't think of anybody better to make inhuman snake sounds than Dee.
Right. Well, I got to tune into that. We've got a couple of questions from our audience here.
Let's leave him hanging and do a spot, and we'll come right back.
All right.
You got it.
We'll be.
Hi, I'm Dave Courvoisier. These days, to get anything accomplished in your voiceover business, you've got to spend some time online. We audition online, we share with others in online communities, maybe you've even done some online training along the way. So here's the next big thing. It's called VoiceOver Virtual. It's this giant two-day online voiceover conference that's coming to you this September. And because it's online, you can attend and participate from anywhere, on your computer. Wait a minute, I know what you're saying. An online voiceover conference? How does that work? Well, it works pretty well, actually. There'll be training with dozens of the industry's top professionals. You'll find an innovative and interactive exhibit hall with some exclusive bargains. You can have private online meetings with agents and casting professionals and trainers, even get your demo evaluated. There will be plenty of chances to network with your colleagues, even make some new friends social media style. Pretty cool, right? Well, as your virtual MC, I'll be telling you more in the weeks to come about this amazing event produced by your friends at VoiceOver Extra with the help of some of the industry's top pros. Right now, why not just take a moment to check out this website and learn more? And if you want to get the lowest possible price on all this, check out the VO Virtual special offer at the registration button. See you in September online, okay?
Now back to EWAVS. Thank Dan and George's wives. For what? You have no idea. Now, here's Dan and George.
All right. Well, let's get into some questions here, and I think we could actually lead into something perhaps that might be interesting to people. Do you guys have a home studio?
We do.
We do have a home studio.
Would you like to come visit it?
I certainly would love to see it, since that's all we seem to talk about on this show, except when we had wonderful guests. Let's take a look.
This is going to be very exciting.
Nice kitchen, by the way.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
All right.
You know they're in L.A. because they've walked more than 10 feet.
Right. Yes. So this is the closet come studio right here. I don't know. Let's see. And we can. We've got a laptop, a Mac.
Good.
Can't be.
Okay. Yeah. This is just a Mac.
Uh oh. Skype gave up the ghost on their audio. We lost your audio, you guys.
Oh, you lost.
There
it
goes, and you're back.
We're back. Okay. Yeah. Sometimes when you go a little into the Wi-Fi range, things can go a little wacky.
Yeah, so.
So
we have that. Gotcha. And then we set it up.
This is just an Audio Technica, I think 3035.
Yep.
Not exactly. We've got an iPad up here, so we can read scripts and things off of the audition. And just a little light and music stand.
And
it was very, very expensively put together, and yet we get really good quality recording.
Right, and that's just a closet.
It's just a closet.
That's a closet.
It was the first thing, when we got this house, it was the first thing that I built, even before we moved in, because I knew what was going to be paying for our mortgage.
What did Absolutely. You have on the wall there? Was that an LCD screen from the computer, or was that like an iPad type thing?
It was an iPad.
We got one of those brackets, you know, just one of those brackets you screw into the wall, and we can just take the iPad in and out.
Excellent. Yeah. Nice job. I love that little space. I love those, tweaking those little spaces like that. It's fun.
Yeah.
Now here's the ultimate question, because here you've got two working voice actors in the same apartment here,
yes.
in the same home. How do you share the studio? How do you schedule that kind of stuff?
Yeah, it's just a matter of scheduling. I'm more of a night owl, and so I tend to do things late, and she's not a night owl, so it sort of works out for us.
And usually what ends up happening is one of us will have a booking at the time the other one won't have a booking necessarily. And so sometimes one of us will be out of the house, the other one will be home, and they'll get their recording stuff done that they need, like auditions and things like that. For example, we just got auditions from our agent right now, so we'll probably do it later once we get off here. One of us will hop in the booth while the other person's taking care of their emails, and then we'll switch, you know, times. We also sometimes get stuff where we partner read together, which is very exciting because it's a tiny booth. We have to like squish in there, but we can do it. So
yeah, it's not built for two, but we make it work.
Yeah, well, you can if you're close and you can get along being that close, which you obviously can, it makes it a little bit easier.
Exactly.
Here's an interesting question: when you're marketing, do you market yourselves as a couple, a team, or do you market yourselves individually? That is there an advantage to being a husband and wife team?
Yeah, a little bit of both. I think we have been marketing ourselves as a couple because clearly we've written the book together, we have our production company together, we do projects together. But I think when it comes to VO, people know that we're married, and oftentimes when they have one of us in for the session, they're like, oh, we're planning on having Yuri in next week, or we're going to bring Tara in for that later on, because they know that we go together. But I think people are also very clear that we're totally fine. We'll both audition for something, but if one of us doesn't get it, we're both part of, you know, it's part of the course. It's like how it works. So it's not like you have to get us as a team. If you don't get us as a team, we won't do it. We don't care.
We definitely want people to be comfortable casting us separately as well, so they don't feel like, you know, if one, you have to get the other.
But I think it's been very hard for us not to market and brand as a couple, because we very much are a couple, and we do so much together.
Yeah. Jason Jeffers asks, he says, I read your book and love it. And it got me started in VO, if that doesn't make you feel better.
Makes me feel fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. But he was wondering, do you have any other resources for him or us to read or to look at that you two have also produced?
Oh, that we've produced?
Yeah.
The audio warm-up, I don't know.
We have a warm-up sort of thing that we put together for strengthening your voice, getting used to pulling things off the page.
It has, like, tongue twisters, a full body warm up, things like that.
Mm-hmm. But those are the resources we've created. We have talked about doing an audiobook version of the voiceover book as well. But it's been tough because there are a lot of stories in there from other people, engineers and agents and other actors.
Like Juan did one and stuff like that. Juan, but yeah. I would want all of them to read their own sections, and they're not all available or they're not all interested, and then it would be sort of weird. So I don't. We haven't moved on that.
That's a someday project, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. But as far as other VO resources that come from us, no. But I mean, we have some that we recommend that are in the book, like voiceoverresourceguide.com. Like, that's a great voiceover resource. But it's not ours. That's just out there.
Yeah, I think that's Dave and Dave's website. But we point a lot of people towards it, not because we're employed by them, but because
it's
a good central point of information. They talk about, you know, casting people in studios in the different sort of major cities that VO is going, you know, is happening, and so it's a good place to go to for people to look into classes and,
I mean,
and demos. And
to be fair, when we wrote the book, I actually made a workbook that would go along with it, and then we just never put it out. So I suppose I could put out the workbook.
Maybe we should finish. That's another someday project.
That'll be our to get the workbook put out.
Devox said, what will the book do? The book that you guys wrote on voiceover, voice acting, right? Is that what it's called?
Voice actor.
Yeah.
Thank you. What is
it
good? Is there some juicy stuff in there for people who are already working voice actors?
Yeah, I think it's more of a primer for people who are just, you know, trying to find their way.
Yeah.
But we've had people read it who are already in the game who have also enjoyed it. Although I think there'll clearly be a lot of stuff in there that they already know.
Sure, sure.
But there are fun little cartoons in there, too.
I was trying to find one of your kids.
It's a fun read no matter what, I guess. You just get a lot of... it's entertaining.
We have cute little cartoons.
Yeah. I don't believe in books that don't have pictures in them. That reflects something about me, I'm sure.
Obviously.
So we had to make sure that those were in there.
Yeah. Last question before we let you run out. Sheldon asked, do you guys consider yourselves, this is could be a really long answer, but keep it short, under 30 seconds. Do you guys consider yourselves actors or voiceover actors?
Actor.
Yeah, I think we both consider ourselves actors because whether we're acting on stage or on TV or film or voiceover, we're employing a lot of the same, it all comes from the same core, although there are definitely different techniques for each of those.
Yeah, but you're an actor.
Yeah, and we found that you know the voiceover actors that we've worked with are the ones that really have longevity. We found out here in Los Angeles are ones who are good actors. You can't just have a cool voice.
Yep.
Right. Or, you know,
but
just,
it doesn't mean that you have to work on stage and you have to work in television and film. You can just do voiceover, and that's totally legitimate. It's just they're just good actors. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. That they happen to be in front of a microphone or they happen to be on a stage. It's just good acting.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, guys, I can't wait till I get out to LA again because I want to meet you guys and I want to hang out with you.
Well,
you obviously never sleep. So
we'll
have no downtime. But thanks for being with us on the show this week, and thanks for sharing all this stuff with us and inspiring the rest of us to get out there and get off our tuchuses and make stuff happen out there.
Do it.
All righty. Well, I think we have another spot. Thanks for being with us, and that's Yuri Lowenthal and Tara Pratt. Thanks for being with us. Just
thanks,
great
guys.
Guests.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Well, so much for the hour long there, George.
Oh yeah, we blew right through it. So we're not gonna keep you guys too much longer. We got
one more segment to go.
One more little promo, and we'll let you go. But we want to show you that video too. So we'll have that at the tail end of the show. Their little con artist promo. So we'll be right back.
Absolutely.
VoiceOver Extra, the voiceover industry's online news, education, and resource center 24/7. Hundreds, probably thousands of free how-to articles for voiceover success, ranging from home studio to voice acting to business. A free voiceover industry directory, calendar of industry events, resource links, a store, and much more. Bi-monthly webinars on all topics of voiceover, free subscriptions to newsletters, reports, announcements, daily news, and features at voiceoverextra.com. VoiceOver Extra, the voiceover industry's...
Yeah, okay, whatever. Okay, so we're back here, and you get a little out of practice after a couple of weeks, although after Saturday, there's that was practice enough. Anyway, we got a few announcements here. Of course, we'd like to thank our donors. I know we had a couple of people who have donated to the show, and it helps us make it better and help us keep us...
well, on the net as opposed to on the air.
That's right.
So if you look right above George's head there in our right underneath the East West Audio Body Shop logo, there's a donate button there. We really could use the help. Also, of course, I thank our sponsors, Harlan Hogan. We still got to get to Harlan here, too.
Harlan, our buddy Harlan. Jeez, yes. Yeah.
Yes, and VoiceOver Extra and now Edge Studio. Also, happy birthday to Joe Cipriano yesterday and Austin Keys today, and Stephanie Cicerelli's is on Wednesday. So that's...
Love to have the community news once in a while, you know?
Yes, it's sort of like the community news. Dave Letterman used to do the local news and stuff
yeah,
like
exactly.
That.
Yeah, exactly. We were wondering how much the Poker Classic raised. We haven't found out yet. So as soon as we get the news on that, we'll let you know. And I've got all that video we shot, and I've just been so to the wall for the last few weeks that I haven't got a chance to cut it together.
We
will have it for you guys in a coming episode. And that'll be a lot of fun. We've also got an interview with Wes Dooley from AEA. We've got an interview with
the folks at MXL.
Yeah, MXL.
Microphones.
Yeah, we've got so much stuff in the can now. It's a matter of time.
We have to get the can opener and get it out of the can.
Exactly. So you're able to keep up with the studio suit demand these days? Because I know I think I'm sending someone to you like once every couple of weeks at this point.
Yeah. You actually got in there and cut a bunch up the other day. So if you ordered some, it's on its way. And make sure you like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at @ewabs_show, and subscribe on YouTube. Please subscribe on YouTube, and to watch all the old episodes, watch on YouTube.
Yeah, and if you are watching this on YouTube, click the little thumbs up button underneath, the little like button. We'd appreciate it, because that also will rebroadcast it to your Twitter feed. It's an easy way for you to not even have to think about promoting us. We want to get the word out to a bigger audience. We want everybody to know what we're up to. So that's one way you guys can help us out, just by liking us or liking the video on YouTube. That makes a big difference.
And of course, we're hoping that moving to Monday night has made it more relaxing for you, because it sure has made it a lot more relaxing for us.
No, it certainly has helped us, yeah.
Yeah, can't you tell how relaxed we are here? Anyway, we need to talk about Harlan.
Yes,
H2, as we like to call him. Harlan Hogan has a great website. If you've been watching the show at all, you know he has a great website. But we're going to tell you about it again, because we love this guy so much and we love what he has. VoiceOverEssentials.com has everything you need if you need voiceover stuff. Everything you could possibly need, all in one website. Why don't you get it up there, George? Let's see what are they specializing in this week.
What's brewing over there? Well, I haven't seen anything really brand new pop up, but he does say, oh, you know what? This is something we haven't really focused on, and you know, this is a really important thing, and that is their customer service, their guarantee on their products. So let me bring this window up
a little bigger so you guys
can see this. You know, there's a lot of companies out there that won't let you do things like try a microphone, for example. Like, a lot of times if you buy a mic, they use an excuse like, oh, it's not hygienic to send the mic back, you know, that kind of stuff.
He doesn't believe that.
No, he will let you try out the products, you know, 100% satisfaction guarantee. And I think pretty much, yeah, everything that he sells, he will give a 30-day refund. And unused items returned after 30 days from the date of purchase, up to 60 days. Then he'll give you even extend that window for another 30 days, but he'll just give you a 20% restocking fee. But, you know, that's pretty cool. Most companies after 30 days, sometimes even after 15 days, would just cut you off, you know? So I think that's pretty valuable. I mean, this is a really no risk way to try out some of his really unique products, you know? So you can't really go wrong, you know? Buy it, try it, and if it doesn't work for you, send it back. No skin off his back, no skin off your back. And, you know, I think that's really honorable. And his phone number is right on the website. He's not trying to hide. You can call him up. And this is literally, almost literally, a mom-pa or a pa-and-daughter business. It's a small company.
Yeah, but a great company at that. So thanks, Harlan, for being our sponsor here at EWABS since the beginning and for having such a great website. You know, make sure you go over there, see the stuff he has, go over and buy something from him once a week. That will keep him happy.
VoiceOverEssentials.com. Tell him we sent you.
Absolutely. All righty. Well, we have a little segment here. We got a question this week from one of our listeners, Steve Tardio, who's having a problem with I wouldn't call it sibilance, but he had a question about it. And,
it's a different kind of sibilance.
Yeah, you know, there's that sort of noise. If you're really, you know, got a little bit of wetness. Yeah, we know it's you, Steve. if you have a little bit of wetness in your mouth and you make an F or an S sound, it makes a squealing sound.
Yeah.
And how do you get rid of it? Well, I'm going to do a screen share here, George, so we can show people exactly what it looks like. Let me see. How do I do that? That's conversations.
Good.
All right. First, turn off my camera, which I can't even seem to do. Let's see if this will all even work here. It won't even let me share the screen. Well, never mind on that one.
You'll have to record it and make it a tip of the week.
Yeah. Anyway, if you've got Adobe Audition, what you can do is if you go into the my favorite part of there, the spectrogram, this sort of sound looks like a scalloping, like a little multi-level thing. All you got to do is highlight that and reduce the level on it about 15 dB, and it goes away. I have that problem as well. I mean, I got lots of other problems, but that's one of those things that happens, when I'm recording. And the 416 seems to pick it up a little bit, but the 103 really picked it up. A very sensitive microphone. If you get that sort of squealing sound, one way to do it is to really zoom in, like we say with any editing, zoom in as tight as you can and reduce the level of it at that one spot, not everything around it. You know, it's like you're taking out a tumor here and you want to reduce the size of it. Right. And that's probably the best way to deal with it. Plus also lots of hydration.
Right. I've got the sample, actually. He did send us a sample. Should I try playing that real quick?
Yeah, play it. Let's see if we can hear that.
Donkey Kong and his pals must take back DK Island after a Viking horde descends from the northern sea to freeze it.
So it's right... Yeah.
Descends from.
Yeah, it's a buzzing sound.
Yeah. Let me try the other sample. Maybe it'll be a little more pronounced.
In the ultimate platforming adventure, Donkey Kong Country, Tropical Freeze.
Gotcha.
Yeah. It's not the mic. It's actually a natural sound. So, and there's no mic that's really gonna, you know, hide that. So what you have to do is you have to learn to, one, relax when you talk, and two, highlight that. Zoom in as tight as you can where you know it's there and reduce the volume on it. And again, if you have the spectrogram, just it's easy to see. It's this little looks like a little ladder on there.
Well, I opened it up in Twisted Wave, and it's not spectrogram, but you know, you can zoom in on that syllable and you can just punch F amplify and back that one syllable down.
Yeah,
and de-amplify.
15, 18
Ultimate platforming adventure.
I don't know if I did the right part there, but that'll give you an idea of what you could do to clean it up a little bit.
Well, 10:14 here in the East.
Yeah, a little long, but you know what? Sometimes you just get a lot of good content, and you just got to give you guys a little extra.
That's right.
So thanks for hanging around.
Yeah, we appreciate that. So next week, who do we have coming up now? Oh, we've got some great guests coming up.
Yeah.
So you don't want to miss the next 3 weeks.
No.
I mean, you never want to miss the show anyway. The next 3 weeks, we've got some great people. September 16th, Graham Judd. From Calgary, he's going to be here. Now, he's from Calgary, Alberta, but he's going to talk about voiceover in Canada and the U.S., something I can easily relate to.
Yeah, I was excited to get him because he's a great example of a success story of someone who does not live in L.A., never lived in Hollywood, has agents east and west coast of the U.S., and is doing U.S. work like crazy. So I think his is a great story.
Yeah. On September 23rd, we have a great voice artist, somebody very well known and a very well known name, Rachel McFarlane. Yes, she will be on the show here. She's done a lot of great stuff. She's also somebody's sister.
Yeah, he started some show, Family something. I don't know, Family Guy maybe. Anyway, No, she's cool. She's a lot of fun. She's a mom. She's a family woman. And she's married to an old buddy that I knew from way back in Philly. So. She's going to be a lot of fun, and she'll tell us how the heck she got into this business in the first place.
Yeah, well, it seems to run in her family.
Yeah.
And then on September 30th, we're going to do another Google Hangout. And if you were at the last one or watched the last one, we had a great time with it. We never know what's going to happen with it, but it just always turns into a fun show.
It's very spontaneous, by far the most spontaneous type of show we do.
That's right. So that's pretty much going to wrap it all up into a nice tight little gift for everybody this week. Make sure you, if you haven't signed up for VoiceOver Virtual, go over to voiceovervirtual.com, check it out. There's some great presentations there. Trust me, I've seen every one of them because I was responsible for them. There's some really great, great presentations in there. There's still a chance to get in there. I think there's maybe there was a discount, I think, until midnight tonight.
So go over to Voiceover.
Yeah. Yeah. So go over to voiceovervirtual.com. All right. Well, we got to thank the wives.
Thanks, wives. You guys rock.
Our wonderful producer, Kathy Curridan, for all the wonderful work she's been doing, getting all these great guests. Look at this. This is amazing.
She hooked us up with Tara and Yuri. I was like, what a cool find.
Yeah, they were great. They were wonderful.
They were wonderful.
We'll have to have them on again since we ran out of time. You know, there's still much more stuff.
We had a lot more to talk about, yeah.
Yes. Anthony Gettig, who's moving up to the upper peninsula of Michigan, where he will be buried in snow between October and October. good luck, Anthony. We love Anthony. He's a great guy. Jason Lawson and Lee Penny for all their production assistance as well. So that's all for us this week. Make sure you're here next week. Got a lot going on over the next month. We got FAFCON and VoiceOver Virtual and all these things, plus great guests. Hope your VoiceOver week is a really good one. Be productive, audition a lot, and we'll see you next week.
That's right. So we'll leave you with a video clip, but before, you know, after we say goodbye.
Right. So anyway, I'm Dan Leonard in the East.
And I'm George Whittam in the West.
Are you sure? And together we are East-West Audio Body Shop. Have a great night, everybody.
Trying to hold it together, everybody. Here we go. Here's that clip that we were trying to show earlier. I think I finally figured out how to do it without creating some wacky, echoey feedback. And we'll let this go for the end of the show. Thanks again, everybody. We really appreciate you tuning in.
What advice would you give to someone who's maybe thinking about getting into voiceover?
You think maybe I could do voiceover?
The casting couch thing is really true.
Oh, not with you.
Just so you know. Well.